Luke chapter 23, verse 46. This is the reading of God's word. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray, as always, that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, so that our faith will actually grow and that we will be able to live that holy life that you have called us to live. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is dying on the cross, bearing our sins in chapter 23. As you know, he is dying in our places. In verse 44, we saw how darkness fell over the whole land to witness that even though history is not yet ended, the last judgment of God that will be poured on this world at the end of history is being poured out upon Jesus Christ in the midst of history. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ is receiving the eternal punishment of hell that the true believers deserve. And in verse 45, as Jesus is dying on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two to witness that through the body of Jesus Christ, the gate of heaven is now wide open. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. The gate of heaven being open is now our eternal heavenly reality that has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are looking at verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Like what we said before, the Bible records seven sayings of our Lord on the cross. The first saying, if you remember, Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So as you could see, he began with a prayer. And the seventh saying, which we are looking at today, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The last saying is also a prayer. And you need to understand that this was his life. Always communing with his Father. At the height of his sufferings and pain, what does he do? He prays to his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Notice that phrase, into your hands, because Matthew 17, 22 and 23, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. And they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. He was delivered into the hands of men, and now, on the cross as he dies, he commits his spirit into his Father's hand. Meaning he completely trusts his Father. He entrusts himself to his Father. Thus, he witnesses what kind of life is Christian life. The life of entrusting all things to the Father God. We trust him. And through the Bible, we are looking at these stories which tells us, which clearly shows us that we are able to completely trust the Father. Now Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is from Psalm 31 verse 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, he trusts his Father to the end. His Father is the one who is able to save him. Of course, Jesus does not need to be saved from sin. But he is entrusting all to his Father who will resurrect him from the dead. Like we said before, this is the life of Jesus Christ, entrusting all things to his Father. See, Jesus' supreme joy is to do the will of the Father. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. You know, we eat food to survive so that we could continue to live. Jesus says his food is to do the will of God. John chapter 5 verse 30, I am able to do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See, he was obedient to the will of God, even if it means to die. See, this is the life of righteous. Then the obvious question would be, why is a righteous person dies on the cross? And we all know the answer. It's because he is bearing our sins. Your sins and my sins. See, Jesus is dying on the cross because he loves us. And he is dying for us. See, no one is able to kill Jesus unless he lets them. John chapter 10 verse 15, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, taken away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. this commandment I received from the Father. He clearly says that no one is able to kill Jesus. But he lets it. John chapter 19 verse 30, therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Usually people die first, and because they're dead, their head bows. You could see that, right? People die first and their heads are then drops. But here, Jesus bowed his head first and gave up his spirit. He himself gave up his own spirit. Do you see it then? Even in dying, Jesus is in complete control. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The word commit, it is a banking word. It is to trust completely, confident of being without any deception or fraud. To trust and entrust. It's like a word deposit. You know, when you go to bank, you deposit your money. Now, why would you do that? Because you completely trust the bank. We deposit the money in the bank. We are trusting the bank completely. That's the point here. Jesus completely trusts his Father. And we must do the same. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. You see, God cannot lie. God who cannot lie has promised and took an oath. Two unchangeable things. It is impossible for God to lie, and the unchangeableness of his purpose. That God promised and took an oath. Thus we are able to completely trust our God in everything that he has promised. See, Jesus trusts his Father. This means that he was certain that he would resurrect from the dead. You know, he said this so many times. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elder and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And he also said, be raised up on the third day. He knew he was going to get killed, but he also knew after his death, he will be resurrected from the dead. And he is so sure of God the Father receiving him with joy. That's why he says, I commit my spirit into your hands. This also means that the Father accepts all things that Jesus has done for his people with pleasure. The Father is pleased with all that Jesus has done for his people. All that he has done for me. See, this is why we are able to have confidence and certainty in our salvation that we have received through and by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are certain that God who receives Jesus Christ with joy will also receive us with joy. Because we are in Him. We are united to our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in our passage, Jesus has once and for all defined for us what true victory is all about. You see, death on the cross, this is an utter defeat according to this world. Back then, at the time of Jesus' death, nobody would look at someone who dying on the cross and say, "Whoa, victorious." But that is exactly what Jesus Christ is accomplishing. Because the cross is the God's way of victory over this world. Colossians 2:15, when He had disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Or NIV says, and having disarmed the power and the authority, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And when you see the cross, do you see the true victory? Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." This clearly shows that death is not the end. For Jesus Christ and us who are in Him, we have a place to go after we die. We go to the Father. The death is not the end, and this world is not everything. And we have to keep on reminding ourselves that this world is not everything. There's another world. There is heaven. And there is our God, God the Father, who will receive us with joy into His presence when we die. Death is not something we should be fearful of. Heaven is a glorious place. And we with Christ will go heaven, so that we may live together, Jesus Christ and us, God and us, live together forever and ever. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is our confession. This is our prayer every single moment. You and I are invited to participate in this life in which we entrust all things to our God. Our God's hands. It is the hands of Almighty, all-knowing God, so powerful. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Yeah, one of my teachers, whenever he reads this, he said, do you see the double protection No one, not even Satan, can snatch you out of the hands of the Father. See, this is how we live. You and I, in Christ, commit all things to our God. Commit all things to the Father's hands. Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60. They went on stoning Stephen. As he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. You could see very, very clearly here that as he dies, Stephen, as he dies, he says those two prayers that Jesus said on the cross. Jesus' life is your life now. This is how we live, just as how he lived. Well, we fail miserably, but don't be discouraged, because one day when you find yourself in heaven, you will be able to live that very life perfectly. And this is what our salvation is all about. I want you to see how clearly how Stephen is participating in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this life has already begun in our lives in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. We entrust all things to our God who is faithful. This is what our life is all about. This is why God said, don't worry about anything. Because you could trust God. Entrust all your things to him. And he will do his will. And isn't that what we truly desire anyway? That he will do his will. His will be done. You pray. Every time you pray Lord's Prayer, your will be done. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul is convinced that all that he entrusted to God, God has power and ability to guard everything that he has entrusted to God. Now, Lord Jesus Christ went to the Father. That means that he is coming back to gather us into our eternal home. And that's exactly what he said. John chapter 14, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I pray that as you see through our word, as you see Jesus Christ crying out to Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, that you will see all these things that we've been saying. He gives us so much confidence and joy in our salvation. We commit all our things to our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we participate in his life of committing all things to the Father. We participate in his sufferings. We participate in his death. And we participate in his life of Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The same words that Jesus spoke, that's our reality in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. And this is our confession. Every single moment of our lives. And we saw our elder be called to God. So you weren't there, but you could almost picture him saying to the Father, Father, I commit my spirit to your hands. This is our confidence. This is our faith. So every single day we say, Father, I commit myself to you. And at the very last moment of our lives, we say the same thing. The Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. And we know God will take care of us. He will receive us. We are confident, we are certain that our God, the Father, will receive us with pleasure. And he, even now, he receives us with pleasure in Jesus Christ, even as we worship him. Do you understand that he is pleased with you? He accepts you, he receives you, he receives your worship. And the only thing for us to do is just commit ourselves to God. And you say, you will be done. Because that's exactly what you desire. See, this is what I want you to see as we end. Wow, it's early. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Do you understand? You have to start seeing the Bible this way. This is exactly what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. That in salvation that he has accomplished for us, we are able to say to Father with confidence, Father, I commit my spirit into your hands. This is not just wishing. This is your reality. And he does receive you. And no one, not even Satan, can snatch you out of his mighty hands. Brothers and sisters, I know this world is filled with worries and concerns and all kinds of things, but relax. God is still in control, and you could always entrust all your things, even your life, to Him, and He will take care of you. He will receive you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Even as He dying on the cross, He witnesses the reality of heaven. And Father, we have true confidence in Him, that we are able to cry out to you, Father, into your hands we commit ourselves. And that we have confidence that you will receive us, you will protect us, you will guide us, you will always be with us in working in us to make us more like your Son. Oh Father, we rejoice because it is truly wonderful life in Jesus Christ. Committing ourselves into your hands. We thank you and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.